Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, this is Lewis Fine, and as always, we have a great show for you today with Kevin Guz of Homevestors Dallas. Kevin is going to be talking to us today about a very interesting topic, which is what happens when a seemingly bad real estate investment, one that looks like you may have made the wrong decision, turns out to be a winner. He's going to discuss all of the different steps involved in that dynamic and how that event happens and how you can be, well, pleasantly surprised by the outcome. With that said, let me bring Kevin on the program. Kevin, welcome.
Thank you, Lewis.
So this is, as I said, a very interesting topic because you can look at a property and it can appear to be, after the fact, the wrong investment, and yet it turns out to be perhaps one of the best performing investments in your real estate portfolio. Walk us through these steps.
Okay, gladly. Yeah, this one, it's kind of nice when you get a happy ending to what you think is going to be a very bad story. Unfortunately, you know, they don't all work out this way, and I have other stories that I thought were going to have a happy ending and didn't. But today we'll focus on one of the more positive outcomes, and like you mentioned, this is a real estate investment in a single family house that, boy, I really didn't want, and I couldn't see the good in it, but lo and behold, I ended up purchasing the property, and it ended up okay, and I learned a lot from it, and that's really the value of today and what I want to share. And I'll give you a little background on it. I'm a Homevestor franchisee and real estate investor here in Dallas, Texas. And I aggressively my business for leads to purchase homes all throughout the greater Dallas area and some of the surrounding communities outside of Dallas. And some of those communities are very different from Dallas in that they're very small, rural cities, you know, with, you know, populations under 5,000 in some cases, as you would imagine with some of the more rural Texas towns. And we do market in those areas in an attempt to get leads on potential properties to purchase. And this scenario happened to be one of those houses. I did get a lead, and it was on a very remote rural market here outside of Dallas, over an hour away drive time. And because we do market very aggressively, and we spend a lot of time and money and invest a lot of intelligence into how we market and who we market to, when those leads come in, I go on those appointments, even if they are a little inconvenient, you know, maybe they're an hour, hour and a half away, or maybe if they appear to be a little unattractive on the outside or on the surface as you're doing your pre-analytics, but I go on those appointments. If those sellers have contacted us as a result of our marketing, then I'm going to be there and to see if I can solve their problem and potentially purchase their house. And so that's exactly what I did on this one. I hopped in the car and began that hour and a half trek out to this property in rural Texas. And as I continued to drive down the road, I realized and started to think, wow, you know, this is a long drive. This house is probably too far for me in rehab and resell on the retail market. It'd just be too difficult to manage the project if every time I wanted to go check on a progress or maybe solve a problem or perhaps even pay a contractor, if I was going to have to hop in the car and drive an hour and a half to do that, that probably wasn't going to be a very prudent project to take on. I have continued to drive down the road and thought more, boy, even if I did buy this and had to sell it, I have no idea of this particular market. This is really outside of my realm of familiarity and expertise. I don't know the type of finish outs that appeal to the buyers in this market. You know, I necessarily know how long it would take or how to price it or who to appeal it to. It may be a challenge to sell this one on a retail market where I don't have the familiarity. I don't even have the contacts for a good realtor, for instance, to market it. So as I drove down the road, I continued to become a little more and more dismayed and even thought about, well, gosh, what if we kept it as a rental and added it to our portfolio, which is always a good option. But I couldn't help but think, wow, this This is really far away to manage as a rental. Since we have our own in-house management of all of our portfolio, I thought, gosh, do I really want to market and show and maintain a rental this far from our office? But it is what it is, and I continued, and I met my obligation to meet with that seller that day. And I took into consideration all these different factors that I thought about on the drive out to this house, and they impacted my offer, and I offered in court accordingly to compensate for some of these challenges that I just mentioned, you know, the distance and the inability to sell it on the retail market and the challenges that it would take to rehab it or the challenges that it would require to keep it as a rental. And those were factors I considered in my offer, and I offered accordingly. And, it wasn't a low-ball offer by no sense of the word. That's not what we do, and that's not our objective. But the offer did reflect some of the challenges in this remote area and purchasing a property in this remote vicinity, this remote area. Lo and behold, a few days later, after I left that house and that appointment and left her with my offer, as I always do on all my appointments, the seller called back and accepted it, almost to my dismay. I was caught off guard. I didn't think that she was accepted. And like I said earlier, I didn't know if I really wanted her to accept it, but she did. And as any good investor, you know, we stand by our word. And if we offered to purchase a property, then we're going to follow through and we're going to purchase it according to those terms. Even if there is some hesitation or trepidation, we will stick to what we told that seller. And ultimately, we closed on that sale and we purchased that property. Fast forward a little bit, the exit strategy that we ultimately decided on was a buy and hold strategy. We decided now that we had that property, we were going to keep it as a rental property. It seemed the best strategy based on how we purchased it, what we purchased it for, and what we thought we could most effectively do with it. So we rehabbed that property, got it ready for our first tenant. I drove out there and did that hour and a half drive, put a sign in the yard after our final walkthrough, and it was ready to market as a rental, put the sign in the yard and began the drive back to Dallas. And lo and behold, that phone started to ring immediately, and it rang constantly throughout the weekend with tenants who were interested in renting that property. And I remember it was on Saturday, and as the phone continued to ring into Saturday, to the point where I asked one of the prospective tenants who called in, she seemed like a nice lady, and I asked her, I said, ma'am, I'm not from that area. I'm based out of here in Dallas, and we're a real estate investor and a HomeVestor franchisee, and this is new to us, your particular town. And I said, we just placed that sign in that yard for that rental yesterday on Friday, and our phone has not stopped ringing. And she proceeded to tell me that, well, your phone will not stop ringing until you take that sign down. I was pleased to learn from this lady that there is such a demand for rental properties in this particular town. It was a small town. Housing was limited. Schools were excellent. The community was strong. And the area was very desirable. And for those reasons, this small town with limited housing just did not have rental properties available. So when we placed that sign in the yard, it quickly sparked the attention of the local residents, and which was great. And it was exactly the opposite of what I thought would happen. I thought, wow, this little town, who's going to be moving here? We're going to put this sign in the yard, and we better get ready to hold it a few months before we find a tenant or anybody who wants to rent it, because we just didn't anticipate that type of demand in that small rural community. And boy, was I wrong. Ultimately, we rented that house very quickly to a husband and wife and their two young children. They were actually born and raised in that town, and they had moved away to start their careers and start their family, and ultimately, their goal was to get back to that community where they grew up so that they could raise their children in the same town that they were raised. And we rented this house to those two, that husband and wife and their two kids, and they are still there today. and their objective is to never leave that community. So we think we have many years to come with a great tenant, and we're confident that when it does come time for them to move, whether they buy their own house across town or wherever they choose to go, I think we're going to have a great opportunity to rent that thing very quickly again. And here's the learnings that we got from this experience. Though it was a very, very scary rental investment, one that we didn't want to do and one that we didn't think would work out, but we did anyways because we made a commitment to purchase it, we learned a lot about these rural communities in stepping outside of our immediate market. And that's the learnings to the new investor or the part-time investor who's considering perhaps a property far from home. You know, you don't want to do it immediately, but don't eliminate those as investment options, because we learned that, number one, there's very limited inventory in these small rural communities. That means less competition when you put your for rent sign out on your investment property. There's not as many homes to choose from in those communities as there is here in Dallas, so they go very quickly, which is great. We also learned that there weren't a lot of other investors willing to go out to that community. And when we did, we were able to purchase that property at a very attractive price. Because unlike here in Dallas, where there's multiple investors walking up to that house or walking out of that house as we're going to that house for our appointment, the competition is very stiff here. But out in the rural markets, it's far less competitive, which enables you to purchase properties at far more attractive prices than in the larger metropolitan communities where many investors may be starting out close to their homes where they're familiar. So that was another attractive point and a great learning. The other thing we saw, too, as we've continued to hold this rental, is these communities are far less transient than the major metropolitan areas like Dallas, where we live. People move in and they don't move out, which is great for you as a real estate investor. You want your tenants to stay, and in these rural communities, we've learned that is more of the lifestyle. They move to those communities and they stay in those communities. They don't move out, and they stick around in your rental because there's just not many other options to move across town like there are here in Dallas, where you could move every year to a different property if you so chose. And then finally, the fourth and final lesson we learned, and I think it's valuable for all the investors out there who are listening today, is the word-of-mouth marketing that we received on this property was so incredibly powerful. So many of the prospective tenants that called us said, "Hey, I'm calling about your rental. My friend drove by, saw it, and called me." And that was an aspect of these small towns. You know, word of mouth is very powerful. These small towns, a lot of people know a lot of people. They're tight-knit communities. When a property hits the market as a rental, people talk and people know other people and people have their eyes out for one another. And they, in essence, did our marketing for us. We stuck the sign in the yard, but the town took care of the rest. And ultimately, the tenant that we did put in the property, they found that property because one of their best friends lived right around the corner and called them and said, "You're moving back to town, and I just saw a rental hit. It'll be perfect." And ultimately, it was perfect. So the moral of the story here is, you know, when you start out as a real estate investor, I recommend you stay close to home and purchase properties and markets you're familiar with. But don't limit yourself as you go forward in your real estate business. As you grow, you'll venture out into new and unfamiliar markets. But don't be afraid. You'll see that some of the most successful investors in this country have are not only investing out of their cities, but they're investing out of their states and even out of their immediate geographical areas. Underneath some of those intimidating unknowns often lies the greatest opportunities. So don't be afraid. When you get to the point and you're ready to venture out, do it, and you'll be pleased with the results.
I think those are great points, Kevin, and they speak to the professionalism that you bring to bear on these issues and also the success that can ensue if you follow these steps, which are very practical and easy to implement. Kevin, as always, a pleasure having you on the program.
Thank you very much, Lewis.